Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
And welcome to it. Good morning. It is indeed the Home Improvement Show. My name is Dan in for Ken. And across the table from me is Walter Assey of Renovco. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We missed you.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was nice to be missed, but I'm back.
Yes, you are.
All is right with the world.
And stronger than ever.
I guess. So here we are in the middle of August. The summer's winding down. Fall is just a few weeks away. Are there things that people should be doing around the house to kind of prepare for the fall?
Lots. And August is a good month because you still have, I would say, a month and a half window to get some of the urgent exterior work done.
Yeah. What would you consider urgent at this point?
I mean, roofs, gutters, downspouts, landscaping, French drains, foundation cracks, brick repair, mortar, all these things that could cause you water damage and infiltration problems in homes. What happens usually is, you know, you want to do these things before the frost. Mm-hmm. That includes also caulking of windows and so on and so forth. Cleaning of the gutters, that's something that's often forgotten. But the cleaning of the gutters, I like to do it towards the end of the fall, because then we would have had the time for the leaves to fall into the gutters. So when you clean them, you're actually cleaning the leaves. So that I would wait a little bit for. Don't wait last minute, because most exterior contractors are already booked for the season. So if there's something urgent to do, like try to be more, aware of the deadlines. And it's not just, okay, I still have 2 months of maybe good weather or decent weather, I should say. Always remember that the good contractors are usually taken very early on. So, you know, you might be left with not great guys afterwards. So,
yeah,
just start the planning now. Do the walkthroughs now and make that list and start checking it off really from August. I know a lot of people wait until September, end of September, but that's really too late. And you see that there's a lot of panic when they call for a job because they know, they're going to get caught with their pants down kind of thing. So,
yeah. As you point out, contractors are busy, but for stuff that you do on your own, you get busy as come September. The kids are back in school, summer's winding down, you're busier at work. You might not have time to do that walkthrough.
Correct. And then the weather is not as predictable, right?
Yeah.
And this, mind you, it haven't been that predictable in the summer either this year, but I mean, you know, things get, you get a lot more rain. So if you want to do outside work, you're limited. When you're available, the weather maybe doesn't help. So yeah, for sure, it's you have to be proactive when it comes to these things, especially that anything that could cause you aggravated damages.
Yes.
Yeah. Having said that, August 19th for me is a great day because it's my son's birthday.
Oh,
Jason,
come on.
He turns 12 today.
Nice.
So I know he's a big fan of the show, but I'm also his biggest fan. So I just want to tell him happy birthday. I know he's listening in.
And what's his name again?
Jason.
Nice. Happy birthday, Jason. 12 years old. You have, if I remember correctly, 3 kids.
Yeah. Jason, Julia, and Jessica.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. You can call in with your questions for Walter Assey, 514-790-0800. And you can also text them in to 514-800. And we just got a text that came in right before the show started saying, we have a new fiberglass balcony, 10 by 12. We're going to make a walk-in underneath storage cabin. We dug about 3 to 4 feet already. Please recommend a company to do the backfill, the mold, and to pour the cement. We received a quote that was incredibly expensive.
The backfill, the mold? I don't understand what you mean. The mold.
I guess they mean that they the mold of what will be their storage cabin. So they want to pour the foundation, I suppose.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Because, again, this is going to be under their balcony.
Okay, I mean, if they want to dissect it down, what they could do is they could call an excavation company for the excavation part and then a foundation company for the foundation part. Because if not, you're going to need to call a general contractor.
Yeah.
So he can, if they have the time to manage it, I mean, you know, and it's only two trades, it might be workable. The only logistical nightmare you really have is to get them both to come the time that you want them to come. That's where it gets to be very tricky when it comes to, coordination, what have you. Typically, general contractors, they work with the same subs. The same subs work with them. So they have this affinity to kind of collaborate on schedules together and what have you. Whereas when you're coming in as a, someone that don't know these guys, they will just pretty much work you in their schedule rather than working your schedule around them or what have you. So it's, they have the time and, you know, a bit of a risk factor there as well, they can maybe dissect it into two different subs and then, you know, manage it.
And I suppose it would be, as you point out, if you get a general contract like Renovco, they would manage the project beginning to end. You don't have to worry about it.
Correct. I mean, anything that requires more than, like, up to two trades, I could tolerate the specialized labor. Mm-hmm. But anything that goes above that and things can overlap, that's when it gets to be really tricky. And the people that have done it, they tell you, I will never do it again because it just takes way too long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you cancel a contractor last minute because the other sub did not show up, well, you know what? Maybe this guy is going to cancel on you the next time. So it just becomes this domino effect that we have to be careful from.
Okay. We got a couple of minutes before traffic. Why don't we go right to the phones? This is Michelle in NDG. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can we help?
Well, we have an upper duplex, a very old home built in 1925, and it was never renovated. We did a huge renovation on the bathroom, and it looks great, but there's a very, very strong sewer smell coming out of the toilet. I've tried pouring Eau de Javel, Javex, to just clear up the smell. It's just always there.
Coming
very
out of the strong toilet, you say?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So I'm wondering if there was some kind of venting that was missed, and is there any way that can be corrected without redoing the renovation?
When you say it was missed, let me ask you, before the renovation, was there that smell? Or
No, it was never, no, but it was just a very old bathroom.
Okay.
So we changed the toilet, changed the bathtub and the sink, and everything looks lovely, but the smell coming out of the toilet is very strong.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I always hate to do this, but we're up against the clock. Stay on the line, Michelle, and we're going to have Walter answer your question in just a couple of seconds.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
And before the break, we were talking with Michelle, whose upper duplex in NDG was recently renovated. And Michelle, you were telling us that there is a powerful smell coming up from the toilet.
Yeah, very, very, very much smelling like sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the smoking gun here is the fact that you didn't really have that problem before the renovations.
No.
So it's very highly unlikely it's a venting problem. What is very common in newly renovated bathrooms, especially if the guy that was installing the toilet is a rookie or does not have much experience, it's an improperly installed toilet gasket. Usually there that could be many reasons, but the source, in most cases, the source of the smell is probably the holes where the toilet bolts pass through the ceramic toilet bowl base, because that's usually never sealed. And when you have an improperly installed gasket, all this the smell of the sewers will seep through these particular things. So that's most likely that's where your problem is coming from. Now, having said that, the other issue that you might also encounter would be, in most cases, they didn't look at the size or the thickness of the toilet gasket. Again, if someone does not know the job very well, they don't pay attention too much. They just buy any toilet gasket you can get. But if you measure the thickness, some of them actually are 3/4 inch thick or 7/8 of an inch. You probably would need something like 1/2 inch in thickness. So I don't know, the guy that installed it, was it the plumber or just a handyman?
My uncle.
Oh, okay. That's, I was going to say, it's usually your husband or your uncle or a handyman. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very common. When someone does not know the job very well, very, very rarely they'll pay attention to these details. And that's why I told you it's a common thing that we hear. And typically it's someone that does not do this for a living.
Have you brought this to your uncle's attention?
No, I he was doing me a favor, so this is where you it becomes delicate. So no, I think also the original toilet was very small and old, and this is a sort of new standard toilet. So there definitely is a difference in size. So, but that it's reassuring because it means I don't have to redo the renovation. It's just a matter of removing the toilet, putting the right gasket size, and putting it back. Is that it?
Or correct. I mean, this is the most common issue. Fortunately, okay, for you, because it's just a question, okay, of removing the toilet and getting the adequate toilet gasket, and then the adequate installation for it as well.
Okay.
If the problem persists, we're gonna have to look a bit more what the issues are.
Okay.
But usually 9 out of 10 times that will solve your problem.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it's
it.
It's a pleasure. Have Thanks a great for day. The call. You too. Bye-bye. And from NDG, we go to LaSalle. This is Mervin. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. How can we help?
I had an issue in my garage basement floor that I overlooked for years. And listening to you guys every Saturday, I just decided I should brought it to Mr. Azvi's attention.
Yeah, it's what we're here for.
Well, there's a silver grayish looking that comes up from the flooring of the concrete floor in the garage. I sometimes sweep it away. Sometimes I sprayed mold control on it, but it kept coming back. And I'm wondering if it's a dangerous kind of a mold, if it's something that I should look into, or is something that I can just avoid.
Okay. So the question is, what the source of this humidity or mold is. So the questions to be asked is, obviously, is it a downslope garage, right?
It is a downslope garage.
Okay. And it is surrounded by earth on that side, meaning because it's a downslope, if you're looking at the garage, if it's on your right-hand side, there's earth, or the left-hand side, whatever. That wall have earth close to it, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So, and do you see signs of humidity on the wall or the floors, or just mold?
Well, I see signs of dampness.
Dampness, okay.
Yes, small areas of moisture.
Okay. Is it a finished garage or is on cement?
It is on cement flooring.
Okay.
Chiprock walling.
Okay, and that mold that you're calling mold that you're seeing, is it like a chalky kind of a feathery residue, or it's you know what I mean, like when you look at it, does it look it's more to the white color?
Yes.
Okay. So probably what you're having is not mold, it's called efflorescence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the reason that you're having that is you do have some type of water infiltration that is seeping through the foundation, or the footing in this case, of your garage, saturating the cement and pushing the calcium out, or the salt out of the cement. So when the cement gets saturated with water and humidity, that's the reaction that you get. Now, is efflorescence harmful? No, it's not harmful, okay? But having said that, you need to also look at the origin of the issue. Why am I having water infiltration in my garage? So I have just a few questions to ask you. How old is the garage or the house?
I would say the house is about, it was built in 63.
Okay. So chances are you don't have a functioning French drain, because in the 60s it used to be terracotta drains at the bottom of your footing.
Okay. Right.
And now with time, terracotta gets crushed and kind of disintegrates. So it's probably, if you would pass a camera in your French drain, you will see it's inexistent. Mm. So having said that, you also have a foundation that was originally waterproof by applying tar to it. But tar, with time, in contact with earth, disintegrates. So with time, your foundation becomes a lot more porous. These two combinations with earth on your foundation creates a hydrostatic type of situation by which any weakness in your foundation will bring in water. It could be sometimes just a small crack or a pinhole or an overload. And that's above all, that's the most important point here, an overloaded French drain that will invite water in through the footing of your foundation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to give you a few ways to kind of try before we go into the craziness of a big job and the French drain and what have you. Because in most cases, you don't need to go that far.
Right.
Okay? So, most of it, a lot of things you can maybe potentially do yourself. The first thing you want to look at is, how is your landscaping slope? Do you have a negative slope on that particular wall towards the garage or not?
I would consider it basically flat, if not negative.
Okay. So flat is not good enough for me. You want to see a positive slope. You want to see a slope. You want to see visually the capacity for the water to slope at least 6 feet away from your foundation. Okay,
mm-hmm.
In order to evacuate it from the French drain area. Okay, so a flat usually for us means it's a negative slope. Okay,
right.
Why? Because the water that is going in that area is finding its way up to 5 feet towards your French drain, and that's what you don't want in an area where you don't have a functioning French drain and you have an older foundation. So you have to do whatever you can to help your foundation. Now, that's number one. Number two, and that's very, very common, is gutter downspouts that are very close to that area. Do you have any in that area?
No, none whatsoever.
Good. Okay, so then you don't have that problem to deal with. What you would have to actually do is start by cleaning up the efflorescence and make sure it's nice and dry. And then do the landscaping on the outside, okay? And be a bit more aggressive in the sense that try to make it more exaggerated of a slope if you can. And it's going to be a watch and see approach. Now, by just doing so, you are evacuating at least 80% of the water from your foundation. So already you are, helping out your foundation perform better.
We're going to continue the answer on the other side of the news. Don't go away, Mervyn, because we'll finish on the air with you in a couple of moments. But we do have to get to the news. It's the Home Improvement Show with me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco, back in a couple seconds.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
So before the news break, we were talking with Mervyn about efflorescence.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. So you were talking about the landscaping.
That's correct. So, we always start with the easier solutions. And the fact is, you don't have a downspout there, so that's a bit. It gets to be easier of management of water. You just need to slope the water away. Now, the other, if you want, the other thing to look at would be, where is this humidity coming from? Is it coming from the bottom of the foundation wall, or is it coming from the middle or the top?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to answer that, Mervyn?
Yes, it's coming from the bottom.
The bottom. So probably your culprit is the footing of the foundation. And that is very common when you don't have good landscaping or water management around your home. it's very common that you're overloading the footing, and then the water is coming through the footing itself. So simply by doing that quick fix, you might be solving that problem once and for all. Okay. If that problem doesn't get solved, there is a common mistake that is done, and we see it often, is some contractors might recommend a sump pump in your garage. That only works if you have a functioning French drain. And the only reason that the sump pump, if you don't have a functioning French drain, would be installed is to, get the excess water underneath the slab away from, because the thinking is that the water is pushing through the slab, which is very uncommon, especially if you're not next to a living next to a body of water. Now, looking at this, you live in La Salle. Do you live by the water or more towards away from the water?
Well, yes, Mr. Azzi, I did not want to interrupt your comment, so I didn't interject. I had two cracks on the outside wall in the past, and I called a certain company to inject their product to seal those cracks. Mm-hmm. And while the contractor were digging, he went, like I said, to the footing, and he draw my attention to a certain amount of water that is still resting on the footing that is not being able to dilute from there, so to speak. It remained there. It's like the clay of the soil keep that water from moving forward. So I know for sure that there is water at the footing.
Okay, so now you know for sure that that's where your problem is coming from. Now, the rest remains on you to do what I asked you to do. I don't want you to jump into the French drain solution right away. Let's try that. 90% of the time that will work. So I don't know, and I will save you a whole bunch of money in the process, and then you can take me out for a nice steak dinner.
And I will definitely do so.
Mervyn, thanks so much for the call. Hope that helps.
Mr. Azzi, I appreciate you guys' time, and you're doing a wonderful job.
All the best.
Thank you.
Staying in LaSalle around here is Kay. Whoops. Oh, what happened to Kay? All right. We lost Kay. That's okay. We have a bunch of texts to get to, and you can certainly text us at 514-800. A lot of them came in. Just a second. Here we go. Before it gets worse, I plan to lay a plastic... wait a minute. There's two texts. Sometimes this text thing doesn't work well, and I'm having trouble figuring it out. Hi, folks. I have a 14 by 24... uncovered deck that was redone 4 years ago with a special plywood coating. It was not done properly, and water is getting in. Before it gets worse, I plan to lay a plastic sheet or barrier and cover with artificial grass until I can have it done professionally. What barrier would be best, and is there artificial grass that can do both jobs?
Artificial grass is not really made to be called a roof covering. It mm-hmm. does help for sure because it's not porous. It's not made to be this way. Having said that, any time you have plywood and you want to do a proper covering, I always opt for the elastomeric type covering because mm-hmm. you can weld it, torch it in, and it overlaps and it lasts for a long time. I've seen people put resisto membranes and because it's a cheaper way and they think they could do it themselves. The problem with that is as soon as resisto sees the sun, it degrades. And it's not really made for, resisto is not made to be, if you wish, as a roof covering. Mm-hmm. It might work because he's putting turf on top of it, fake grass.
Yeah.
But it's again the way you're gonna apply it and what have you, and you wanna ensure that it doesn't never ever see the sun because that will degrade very quickly. But just to give you a quick answer, elastomeric membrane would be your best bet.
Okay, there you go. And before we go to the traffic break, Lauren texted in asking if you have a recipe to remove drain odor.
Baking soda vinegar is your best recipe.
Yeah.
Don't buy any products. If you mix that and you pour it, you let it dwell for about 15 minutes, and then you flush the toilet or open the sink.
Okay.
But these are usually the best combinations for vinegar and baking soda.
And like 1-to-1, or what's the...
I would put more vinegar than baking soda. So mm-hmm. the baking soda is just to kind of neutralize the odor. So I would say 2-to-1 should work.
Okay. There you go, Lauren. Hope that helps. 514-790-0800 is our phone number. 514-800, our text line.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Our remaining moments with Walter Assey of Renovco, and we're going to talk with Kay. A common theme this morning. You have water at the back of your house, Kay?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have, when they had lots of rain a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
there was lots of water at the back, all around the house. I have a end unit duplex, and the water was all around. And even in the grass, there's a big yard on the side, and that was full of water. Too, the water wasn't going into the ground. So it was from the house. It was like a swimming pool in the back there, and then flowing. It was the only outlet was going out at the front and going down to the garage.
Okay. So what is your question?
What is the cause of it? Do I have a French drain? French drain is not working.
Not necessarily. When you say you had water around the house, are you talking around your foundation or you're talking around outside, the whole land?
Outside of the house. And it came into the... It went into the room with the water heater.
Okay. Mm.
It was pouring in there too from the back of the house.
Okay. So what probably is happening, especially that you're saying you're from you live in a duplex and you probably have a flat roof, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you checked if there's any overflow of water coming from the roof?
Didn't.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this is because, especially in heavy rains, if you have a blocked drain,
mm-hmm.
Your roof becomes, in essence, like a swimming pool. And if your parapet wall is not high enough, the water starts overflowing from the roof in big quantities. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing you can look at. And you won't, unfortunately, when it stops raining, you won't see it. So when it's a heavy downpour, most people don't go out and look at the roof. So you want to check your roof drain. You need to check it anyways, okay?
How often would you have to check that?
At least twice a year.
Yeah.
Specifically after the fall, the tree sheds and what have you, you need to absolutely make sure it's not obstructed, okay? Mm. So that's a common occurrence, and you see it, and that's what would cause an overflow of water around the house. Now, the fact that you also have no gutters, that means a lot of water accumulates around your foundation.
Mm.
So that's why in flat roof scenarios, the positive slope is extremely important. Extremely. It's probably the most important. Because all the rain that is going around the perimeter of your house is literally coming down to your foundation. Specifically, if you don't have a proper evacuation route, what happens is it creates like this type of a crater scenario by which all the water gets stuck within the 5-foot margin to the footing, and then it finds its way to the French drain, which in most cases does not work if it's an older structure. And then it will find eventually its way inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with things that needs to be done anyways, meaning the the landscaping, if it's not adequate, would need to be done anyways. It's not really money wasted, okay? And it will solve you a whole bunch of problems. So this is what you're going to do. Just two things to verify. Number one, your landscaping around the house to be corrected. Number two, is my drain on the roof blocked or not?
But what do I do with the landscaping around?
Just add topsoil around the whole perimeter of the house. And what you want to see is about 6 feet slope.
Around the house, it's the stone wall, the brick wall. All around the house.
It's around. When I say around the house, I mean around the foundation. Wherever you have grass, you want to make sure that the grass is sloped away from the house.
Yeah, the grass is away from the house, but the bricks, I know they're sloping towards the house a little bit, so the water stays there. But why is it the water wasn't going? The grass was filled with water also.
That's correct, because you are. That's what I'm saying is when you have an area where the water is not sloping away, it kind of all jams into the same location and then it overloads the earth. And that's why it doesn't, especially when you don't have a French drain functioning well to evacuate all the water. So the more water you give it, the more saturation it becomes, just backs up.
So you're talking about building up the landscaping so that it slopes away from the house.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Because of the French drain, I mean, the easiest answer I can give you, fix your French drain so let the water thing, but that's going to cost you a fortune. So you start with that first, and if that doesn't work, you go to the French drain scenario.
How much about a French drain would cost approximately?
The problem with the French drain is not just the French drain. So depending on the size of the house, it starts about 20,000. But it's all the collateral damage that happens with the French drain because you have to literally excavate all around the house. So all that landscaping that you have to do next year, all the pave, the pavers, all the, you know, if there's a deck in the back, there's a lot of things that comes with it. So that's why I keep it as a last resort. I don't usually attack it as a first solution.
So it might be about 30,000.
It starts usually around 20,000, depending on the size of the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess start with the landscaping, Kay. Thanks so much for the call.
All right. Thank you very much.
Enjoy
your program. I listen every Saturday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We've probably just got a minute left, but we had a text in asking how you would remove an orange stain in the toilet bowl. I'm assuming it's rust of some kind.
Orange stain. Wow. Okay. I mean, usually the only thing I like to use in a toilet bowl is Vim.
Really?
Yeah. But you have to, again, it's the dwell time that's important. So you kind of let it dwell, you know, as per the instruction, I think it's 10 to 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and then you clean it.
Okay. Yeah, that should do the trick. All right, I think that's probably all the time we have on the Home Improvement Show. Walter, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Always good to see you.
Absolutely, yourself too. Thanks, Dan.
Walter Asiyev-Renovko, Dan in for Ken. Coming up on the other side of the 10 o'clock news, The Car Show. I will be joined by George Eney of the Automobile Protection Association. We'll talk about automotive questions, particularly in the area of purchasing new cars. Back after the news.